There's words that I read just a moment ago and will give in turn. We have to say right away that there's a lot of context to those words. I think if you look through this chapter, you will read three times where it shows us that Saul was afraid of David. It says over there in verse 12, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. And then over there in verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And down there in verse 29, it says, and Saul was yet more afraid of David. When we look at this fear that King Saul evidently had for God's anointed, we can say in a categorical fashion that he was afraid because he recognized that the presence of the Lord was upon David. He was conducting himself in a way that a man of God should, and he, in some ways, through his good behavior, disappointed Saul. And through all of them, Saul reckoned that God was with him and he was right. And we have to also say that at this time, David's life was really just a grim ordeal. He was in danger and he feared Saul's outrages, and his situation was such that he knew that Saul wanted rid of him. David hadn't done anything against Saul. In fact, he had sought, or would have sought, even in days to come, to befriend him, to treat him in a way that he didn't deserve, of course, but in a way that David thought was right for him. And to make things worse for Saul at this time, it shows us there in verse 16 that the people like David. So you have David now, and he's been greatly befriended by Jonathan, as we read in the first verse of the chapter. All of the people there, it shows us in Israel and Judah, they love him because he came in and went out before him. He was showing himself to be a man of the people in a way that unfortunately Saul was not doing. Now by verse 30, the end of the chapter, we see here that David is a vindicated man. It says there in that verse 30, then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much sent back. Important to remember that in any event in our lives, that God is ultimately in control. And God's sovereignty is seen here in some organizing circumstances that, in spite of Saul's very best, you have to say, very best, bad efforts, God has preserved David and will preserve him. And when you look at verse 21, you may ask the question, I will give him her. You had only those words to hold on to. You may say, well, is Saul now, is he trying to keep his word? Remember what it shows us there in chapter 17, in verse 25, where David had asked what would be done for the man that killed the giant of Gath, Goliath. And one of the things that would be done for him is he would be given the daughter of Saul for a wife. Now it seems that at this stage, Saul is a man with no integrity. He has no compassion. He has no real thought for his own flesh and blood, his own daughters. And more than that, he doesn't seem to have any shame. And his two daughters here, they're just really, they seem also almost like bargaining chips as far as he is concerned. So as you look at this chapter, what you really see are widening circles of dissension, and you can trace them all back to a heart that is on the run from all that was honorable or even reasonable, and on the run from any semblance of the integrity that we just mentioned. Someone said concerning Saul at this time that his anger was feeding well on his self-pity. And so it was. He was a very bitter man. And he was more and more evidently, completely obsessed with himself. behind him, and the demons went, stop. Well, he also learned from him that, or I learned from him that I must keep track of my heart. The Bible tells us for all time that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We all need to remember them and keep a track of our own heart, that the wrong words might not come out, or the wrong actions, or indeed the wrong thoughts might not even be in our hearts. It also shows us that we are to love others as ourselves. Saul was completely consumed with Saul and taken up with him. And you know something? It also shows us here that we need to deal with wrong things swiftly. He didn't do any of that. And here we have a situation today where he says at the beginning of verse 21, I will give him her, that is Michal, his daughter. I've given a title to the message this morning, Destructive Self-Love. Destructive Self-Love. It's a message for all of us, and right through this chapter, I think probably more than any other chapter in the whole book, we see Saul running along from pillar to post. And whatever he tries, it's not working. And everything seems now to be turning against him in a way that obviously everyone else is going to see. And it's just all downward now for Saul. And he's saying this today, or Saul, at this time, he's little more than a liability to the people. That's all. He's just a liability. Self-love, which is the root of it all. There's no question about that. Remember him when it started. He'd be out on the farm and he'd seen a humble man. The people wanted him. God gave him to them to be the first king. And how quickly he changed. And now jealousy. Never think, folks, of jealousy as something that is just a fickle human weakness. It's far more than that. And that's where it started here, really. Jealousy of David. And then he began to think, really, what he was crying out in this chapter is, but what about me? Because God was going to use David. And he, through his action, through his behavior, had made himself really of no use. No use to the Lord or to the people either. Destructive self-love. And what you're going to notice first of all here is careless greed. You look there in verse 17, and we didn't read all of these verses of second time, and said, when Saul said to David, behold my eldest daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, that really means he said to himself, for Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Such a repugnant action. There's not very little that is more distasteful than someone getting someone else to do the dirty work. Really, that is what he was doing here. And he was using his oldest daughter at that time for this thing. It already says in verse 15 there that he was afraid of him. And the word, I think I mentioned to you, the word afraid there on this occasion, verse 15, means turn aside. To consciously avoid someone. Did you ever walk down the street and someone tried to avoid you? Did you feel that they wanted to be friends with you? Well, I hope that's never happened to you, but the news is that they weren't trying to be your friend. We're trying to avoid you. But you know, if they're trying to avoid you because of something within, that's not something for you to be upset about. The problem lies with them if they're trying to avoid you. And that's exactly what he did here. He tried to avoid him because